couple of things this morning. First of all, we talk a lot. Obviously, it's Jim's funeral on Tuesday, and we're aware that not everybody will know Jim. If you've joined us over the last 12 years, just put your hand up. Yeah, so some of you won't particularly know Jim, and you know we here experienced his ministry for a period of 27 years, and he's made a massive impact on the culture of this church. And one of the things you'll find is that people come here and go, I've never been to a church like that, because we are different, but we're not different for being different sake, but we are different because Jim saw church differently, and he's kind of formed our values. He's helped us understand our faith and how it works in everyday life and how it works in church life as well. So over the 27 years of his ministry, he had a massive impact on who we are. And that's why we are sort of focusing and celebrating the life of Jim and just going, he was a man that made a difference. And certainly we'll be expressing that on Tuesday for those that are able to come. But I just want to say as well that from my perspective, he helped me see church in a different way. Okay, that's why I'm a bit different. And that's why when you ask me things about church, the answer you get won't always be what you expect. Because Jim, through his ministry, just helped me understand church in a way that I really needed to understand it because I didn't like church. Is it all right to say that? I didn't like church. Even though I've been going to church all my life, I didn't like it. Because I didn't like the expression it had. I didn't like the way it worked. I didn't like the structure of it. And over the period that we were with Jim, he just transformed my thinking and my understanding. And I'm kind of his disciple, if you like. He mentored me for a period of 40 years. So he's been very significant for me. And just as we are talking amongst ourselves and preparing for Tuesday, he's significant for everybody who knew him. He's made such a difference in our thinking and impacted our lives in a way that is almost immeasurable. And so we're celebrating the life of Jim, and we want to just do that in an honourable way on Tuesday. So that's really why we're talking about Jim. For those of you who don't know him, who've never met him, and you think, who is he? He's the man that's kind of created something of who we are today. So I just wanted to say that just in preparation for Tuesday. Is that okay? Good. If you've got any questions about Tuesday, come and ask us. If you can help in any way, if you can take a brick, take a brick. That would be really useful. That would really be. Or if somebody wants to take all the bricks and take them to the tip, that would even be more useful. And we're going to try and tidy up the whole of the outside of the building. We've left it till now because we've got some really blessed weeds in our car park. They kind of grow quicker than anything else I've ever seen. And we chopped them down and there they are again. And so we've left it right to the end because we didn't want to do it a couple of weeks ago, if you like, and they're all back again and we have to do the job twice. We were going to try and do something this afternoon, but we're weather dependent, really. If not, and you're free in the day tomorrow or you can do anything, just come and talk to me and we'll talk about that. I want to talk a little bit this morning. The title of my message is Life Sucks. But not if you're a Christian. Or does it? Sometimes. I want us to try and understand how our faith fits into life. It's a really important principle that we understand how this faith that we have and all the things that we've been singing about this morning help us in everyday life. And how we can prepare ourselves for the things that happen so when life does suck, we've got a solution. Because it can. And we will all have experienced that in some way. So some of the songs that we've sang this morning, I've just been noting down some of the lines in the songs. And it's, where is it? Ray didn't know what I was going to talk about this morning. I never tell him. He's over there somewhere. Here he is. I don't tell him. But these are some of the words that we sang this morning. And the words we sing in our songs are important. And sometimes, as I said a few weeks ago, we can just have a bit of a sing-song. But our songs are actually worship and they are theology. And it's important to understand. If you don't understand what you're singing, a lot of the time we're singing theology. We're singing what the Bible says. And it gets into our hearts. It gets into, because songs are brilliant. And those of you that listened to Linda then, she had a song. How old is that song, Linda? A bit like yourself. Yeah.
Can I say that?
Don't bother Linda. She knows where we're at. And hear these words just come in song, because sometimes the songs that we sing just stay in our heart and in our spirit, and at the right moment, out they come. And it's just amazing. Well, so the songs that we've been singing this morning, God is good, taste and see. Come and taste and see that God is good. And that's a great kind of picture that we have of when you taste something that is good, you kind of smack in your lips and go, that's good, I want some more of that. And those of you who can remember that Jim actually talked about flavour, didn't he? For quite an extended period of time. How do we taste to those around us? Do we taste good or do we leave a bad taste in somebody's mouth? But when we taste the Lord, he leaves a good taste on our spirit. And we're part of his perfect plan. That as we begin to understand the Bible and the journey that we have in our faith, that he has a perfect plan for each of us, and it will be different for everybody. So it's when we're going through stuff, and I want to talk about this, it just might be part of God's plan for your life. You're perfect in all your ways. Wow. We know what it means, but when we're going through ways that aren't perfect, we kind of go, what's going on here? What is happening to me? And here we are singing this morning, you're perfect in all your ways. And despite of it all, I will sing. So it takes us on a bit of a journey, all the songs we've sung this morning. It's about our understanding of our faith and our application of faith to those times in our lives when we go, life sucks. And we've sang this morning, despite it all, I will sing. So if you're this morning, you're going through one of those hard periods in your life, is your spirit going, but despite all of this, I will sing. Because that shows a sign of understanding our faith and actually the application of faith. Because faith is actually putting our trust in God when we can't see a solution, when we can't see sort of the wood for the trees, if you like, and we feel that life is just too much. But when we know him, we can go, but despite all that, I'm going to sing because you are such an awesome God. Over the summer, I've been talking about the power of God and how he has power to create and power. He saves us. He's overcome sin and death. And God is constantly, through his regenerating power, creating something new in us. Because when he looks at each of us, he sees potential and destiny for you. And it tells us in the Bible that even before the foundation of the world, before creation, he knew all about you and about me. And he had a plan for us, which is just an amazing thought. It's almost too big to understand that. But sit here this morning and we can just put our trust in him because he's creating something in each of us. And sometimes we can't see that. Sometimes we can't see that process that's going on. And he had plans before you were born, before the foundation of the world. He knows what he wants to do with each of us. And we all kind of go, yeah, we understand that. We get that. And then we asked last week about who are you serving? And as Christians, we have to decide who we're going to serve, who our heart belongs to, and where we're going to go when we're in times of need, when life sucks. And we can serve many things, and the list is endless. But usually it's about me. We tend to serve ourselves and what we want, and not what God wants. And those times, we've got to be like Joshua, who asked that question, choose this day who you're going to serve. But as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. And when we're talking about, I was just thinking this morning about serving God. What does that mean? It means when we make our decisions that we actually serve the will and purpose of God. When we face temptation, we serve the will and the purpose of God. When we have a choice to make about being honest or dishonest, we serve the purpose of God. Choose who you're going to serve, because if you choose to serve God, then you will be strong and mature. Otherwise, it says we're blown about by every doctrine that comes along. We can't pick and choose what we believe. Choose this day who you will serve. And at this church, what we're trying to do is move people into a place where we give our heart to him. Because when he's got our heart, he's got our everything. When he's got our heart, we begin to understand that God will shape our lives for his glory, not for ours. And to show through each of us the magnificence of God. Now, when we want to glorify God, and we do it through the way that we live. We glorify God on a Sunday, and it's great to come together and worship and glorify God, because we understand the magnificence of God. We understand the awesomeness of God. We understand his glory. We understand his majesty, and we worship him. But we share that glory with everybody we meet by serving him in every circumstance and situation. And our mission in life, if you choose to take it, is that day by day we should become more like Jesus. That's just serving God. We can do all kinds of magnificent things. We can do all kinds of great ministries. But really, the Father wants us to be more like Jesus every day. And as we journey with him, he does shape us. So as Christians, as those who have put our faith in him, why does stuff happen in our lives? Why do we go through tough times? Why do we go through those times where we don't really understand what it's about? Because surely he gives us everything that we want. He gives us all that we want to avoid. It doesn't say that, does it? It says in every circumstance, he gives us what you need to get through it. And sometimes we need to go through things. When you look in the Bible about, right from the Old Testament right through to the disciples in the New Testament, there was a lot of stuff happening in their lives. There was a lot of persecution. There was a lot of hardship. And many gave their lives because they loved Jesus. They put their faith in the one and true God. Jesus told his disciples that that would happen. He said, look, I've got trouble. You're going to get trouble as well. It's going to happen. And so part of our understanding, our faith, is that trouble is going to happen. Trouble can happen because we serve God. And many times in our families, with our friends, in our workplaces, we can suffer because we've put our faith in God and we stand on our values based on Scripture. And that can bring a pressure on us. But in the Bible, we see that many, many gave their lives for their faith. And this has always been, astounds me, this particular scripture that I'm going to read. And it's from the Apostle Paul, who was contributed the most in the New Testament. He kind of formed how church should be, all the theology that we put into place. Much of it is kind of directed by Paul. He was a great man of God. Well, this is what he says in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28. Yeah. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. So he's talking about people who were challenging who he was. And he said, are they servants of Christ? Well, listen to this. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have laboured and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. He never said life sucks. What he said was, not me, but him. I die daily. He recognized the call of God on his life. And that brought with it all this stuff. And sometimes we look out the window and go, it's raining, I'm not going to church. It kind of puts in perspective something of where we're at in our faith journey. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all want that. I don't want any of that, do you? I don't fancy any of that, really. But what it's showing is that we are not exempt from hard times if we are believers. Hard times will come and do come. See, Jesus suffered for our benefit, not his. He served. He served the will of his Father, and the will of his Father that he should be crucified and die, not because he thought it was a great thing, but it's for us, so that our sin might be forgiven. Our daily living has purpose when we're Christians. Every day when we wake up, we have purpose. It's good to remind yourself of that. Every day when you wake up, you have purpose. So the lucky or unlucky element of life is removed, because no matter what happens, we have purpose. And in our human state, we can feel desperate, angry, and hopeless when the things of life don't go our way. And we've all been there. We all know what that feels like, when we just feel that life is pinching and we think, why me? Why me? And we have to include God in everything that we do, because often he's trying to produce something in us that brings maturity and character that enables him to change our lives so that we become useful to him. When God looks at you and he looks at me, he sees the end game. He sees what he's trying to produce. He sees the finished article. And we can't see that. We can't see it. We're just living in the now. We put faith in God to produce something in us, but we sometimes don't know what that's going to be. And I've said many times to maybe all of us that when I started off in life, I didn't see today. I didn't see that I would be stood at the front talking to you, because I never wanted to do that. I never saw that as a possibility in my life. But the journey, the hardships, all the stuff that I've been through have prepared me for what God has got for me to do. So when we're going through the stuff of life, when we're going through those times when we go, life sucks here, I'm not liking this, then maybe it's part of our training and preparation and transformation to become fit for purpose. In our Christian walk, we have to decide who we will serve. And when we're going through the hard times, that's when it's the hardest to go, but as for me, I'm going to serve God. That you're perfect in all of your ways, and despite all that's happening, I'm going to continue to sing and to worship you. It's a real challenge in life. One of our scriptures that we keep repeating to ourselves, that God has given us everything for life and godliness, is something that actually Jim began birthed in this place many, many years ago, when he helped us to understand that no matter what we're going through, no matter where we are in life, that God has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. In other words, he sustains us externally and internally in our spirit. He gives us what we need to get through. So when life is hard, he gives us what we need. Sometimes we need to ask, but he will give what we need. And then he goes on to say this in the following verses. This is 2 Peter 1, 5 to 11. So because of all that, because he's given us everything that we need, and will continue to do that, for this reason, make every effort to add faith, add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. There is a progression in our faith walk. And if we get off the treadmill, if you like, then we become ineffective in our Christian walk. He says even there, some people even forget that they've been born again. They've forgotten that their sins have been forgiven, because some of that is quite hard and we don't want that. Therefore, I'm going to lay down who I'm serving and I'm going to serve myself. So we can see there that when God loves us and breaks into our lives, that's not it. That's just like day one. There is a progression. There is a changing. There is a challenging. There is a maturing, so that we actually become strong. James 1 says this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That's encouraging, isn't it? Pure joy. Right. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God wants us to be mature and strong, so that we can face life without crumbling, without going into panic, but absolutely just serving him and trusting him for all that he's got for us. See, when our primary objective is to serve God, we begin to see life differently. Some of the pain we go through is used by God to produce something in us that isn't for us. It's for other people. Okay, let's go back to the Bible just to show that I'm not making it up. 2 Corinthians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Amen. Who comforts us in all our troubles. Oh, does he? So we're going to have troubles, but he will comfort us, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Understanding that. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we were distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we will suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so you also share in our comfort. So there's something that we go through in life that is tough. Calls it sufferings there, doesn't it? But God gives us what we need. He comforts us with his comfort. And we experience that. But then that puts us in a place where we can actually go to other people. This is what God's done for me. Let him do it for you. We've been through something that not everybody will go through, because all our sufferings are different. Our life experiences are different. The things that we face are different. But when God comforts us, you can stand next to somebody who's going through the same thing and go, put God into it, because he will comfort you. Share some of this that God has given to me. I read a book many years ago and I can't find it. So I must have given it to somebody and it's not come back. That's a good Christian ethic, isn't it? If you give a book away, don't expect to get it back. And it's called Don't Waste Your Sorrows. I've talked about this maybe in small group. Don't waste your sorrows. The author of the book faced some really, really tough times in her life and felt miserable and frustrated until a realization that God was producing something in her that could help others. God takes our pain and comforts us. He gives us what we need and produces something in us that we can give to others. So some of the life sucks stuff is about actually God is doing something in us. He's creating perseverance and godliness, mutual affection and love. He's creating those things in us through the things that we are going through. So when we choose to serve God, we must realize that he is handling our destiny. We keep saying that he's in control. But sometimes we take that control back, don't we? We try and control ourselves. But if we serve him, if we give him our heart, he will transform us and create in us something that reflects his glory. So that everywhere we go, we're a little flavour of the glory of God. And it's always for others. God does good stuff in us. He transforms, he changes, it helps us to deal with the stuff that's going inside us. And it brings us freedom, it releases us, it brings forgiveness. It does all those things that the Bible says it will do. But then he's going to us, but now you can go and do that for somebody else. We know he gives us everything we need for life and godliness, and that will mature us. It'll make us into overcoming believers who are fit for purpose to bring light into a world of darkness. Because I can look at the world and you go, we've got no chance here, have we? We are the chance. We are the chance for the world to be set free, for the world to be brought from darkness into light. But to be the light, we've sometimes got to have gone through the training, through the preparation, through the hardship, so that God can prove to us in our lives that we are the light. So that everywhere we go, we're a little beacon of shining brightness of the glory of God. And people will look at us and see Jesus in us. Our purpose is to become more like Jesus. And that happens through sometimes a little bit of pain. So next time you think that life sucks, just bear in mind that maybe God is trying to do something in you. Maybe he's trying to produce something that you can't even see, that you don't even understand. And on our journey, sometimes it's not till we look back, we can go, I understand it now. I understand it. I understand. In the Freedom in Christ course, there's a great picture that is in one of the books, and it's of a weedy little man, so it won't be like me, trying to push a boulder. His pain, if you like. His life sucks and he's trying to push it, and he's asking God to, can you move this boulder? Can you get it out of the way, because it's too much for me. I can't seem to shift it, and it's there. And week after week after week, he's praying. And then at the end of it all, this weedy little man has turned into a... because he's been exercising his faith. He never moved it, but that part of life that he wanted to remove has actually made him strong. It's a great picture, that, of how we must face life sometimes. Paul said, didn't he, I've got this thing, this thorn in the flesh, and I've gone to God, and he's going, no, I'm not taking it away. We don't like that, do we? I'm not taking it away. Whatever the thorn in the flesh was, you can just keep it, because maybe that was producing in him something that he needed. My grace is sufficient for you. And thank God that his grace is sufficient for us. But let's be fit for purpose. Let's understand something of the journey as we walk together in faith to represent God in a mature, strong way, that we are the light of the world. Amen. Thank you.